What's up, After Buzzers? Welcome back to the 100 After Show. Today we're going to be talking about Season 5, Episode 6, Exit Wounds. Murphy's being tracked, Echo is being banished, and Maddie is starting an Octavia fan club. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Our soul on our R&B on the
90s guys is gonna just feel warm right now.
Who are they gonna run to?
It depends who you're talking to and who they're gonna run to.
More like who are they running from?
This is a good point.
Yeah.
What is up, you guys? Welcome back to the 100 After Show. As always, I am your host, Taylor Gates. I am joined by two lovely panelists.
Hey, it's me, Cherry. How you doing?
Hey guys, Sarai on the mic three.
On the mic three, love it. We have a really great show for you guys tonight. A lot happened in this episode. We're also going to be talking about our boss move, of course, favorite part of every show. And I have some cool news for you guys at the end, so definitely stay tuned. It's going to be awesome. And exactly, and make sure to leave your thoughts in the chat role. We love bringing you guys into the conversation and hearing what you guys thought. So let's start off talking about what you guys thought overall of this episode.
It was plotting and scheming, unexpected moves. Should I say boss moves? Yes, I will. And Octavia is still in charge. She is not the one. She's just like, I'm not the one for this.
It's definitely a competition for bosses at this point. Everyone, all the different cliques have now met up in one place. And it's like basically a battle to see who is the main boss, like the boss of the boss.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Agree. Yeah, it is interesting because I know at the beginning of the season we were talking about like, ooh, what are they going to keep everyone separated from a while? Mm-hmm. And everyone really is in kind of the same spot right now. I'm not going to lie, I did miss Raven and Abby though. Like they were noticeably absent. They're two of my favorites. So I was like, oh, I miss them. But I'm sure they'll be back, you know, next
definitely,
episode.
Yes. Oh, definitely. Yes.
And we had no shortage of like awesome people in this episode still. Mm-hmm. Like it was very, you know, Octavia focused. And let's just start off by talking about her because I feel like she and Echo and Bellamy kind of made up the sort of big meat of this episode. So we start off by Octavia getting her sand wound fixed by Clark, which I agreed with Maddie. It looked pretty wicked cool, honestly. It was like kind of sparkly in places.
Maddie's a huge fan. It's like her live comic book. She's been hearing about her, and she's like this fictional, you know, well, not fictional, but she's like this hero in her mind. Yeah. And now she gets to meet her, and she's just like, it's in 3D, you know?
And that wound was kind of cool. I mean, I can't blame Maddie. I was like, you know, that's kind of cute. I wear that as a necklace.
Right? It's like if you're going to get injured, it might as well be from like sand diamonds and worms and like in cool ways like that. So, Maddie is like a huge fan. But Octavia is not, you know, she's having her own struggles. There's a lot of people in the bunker that she can't really get to come out because they're afraid they're going to be bombed again, which like, fair enough. That's a pretty valid threat.
Yeah.
Very valid threat. And also their hydro farm is not really like giving them the food that they need, and the land really isn't arable to like grow anything. They really have to get back to this shallow valley. Yes.
Always. I don't know if you guys notice this, but every season there's always a shortage somewhere, and it's always lush another place. You know, it's damnation here, but here we can survive.
The grass is literally always greener on another side.
Always. So this is typical 100 fashion. You know what I mean? So now the saving grace is shallow valley. You know what I mean? But at one point it was the bunker. Another point was actually being on the ship, you know, so.
Right.
But that's just the 100 for you.
But they're always going to have to compete for food and water. It just isn't enough of land and food and mass and everything. Even before the fire and everything, it just wasn't enough.
Yeah.
And that was why they came down from the ship, because they were running out. So it's just a common thread with them.
Yeah.
For sure. And Dioza knows this. And that whole, like, Dioza's whole kind of crew kind of capitalizes on this and decides to fly over the bunker. They fly little parachutes, kind of like the little Hunger Games parachutes, with, like, baskets of apples and food and stuff. And they say, listen, we invite you guys to join, you know, team...
One crew.
Team Elias crew or whatever that ship is called. I think it's Allegis. Team Allegis crew. If you come unarmed, you know, we'll all be friends. It'll be great. Did you guys think that that was a trap, or were you like, oh yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. I thought it was a bomb. I thought it was like 6 or 7 bombs coming down and it was going to end it. But then logically that wouldn't make sense because that would be the end of the episode, or at least that would mess up some stuff. But I totally thought it was bad, more bad than good for sure.
Yeah.
I wasn't surprised. What I find fascinating is that Marcus really seems to want to take Octavia out of her leadership role and basically put her under sand and get her out of it for whatever reason. And the minute Dioza was like, this better work, all I could think of was she was looking at him and she's like, oh, you're going to make yourself useful, either with tech or propaganda
or
in my bed.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's already
somewhere or another.
Yeah. She's already looked at Abby and she's already done the, I'm going to steal your man. Just going to let you know.
He's going to use one of his hands for sure.
Yeah. And I thought it was really interesting that Octavia immediately knew that it was Kane who like had written the speech that they were playing over the speakers. I was like, oh, she's good. Like, she knows. Like, and I mean, I don't think I would have like necessarily been like, oh, that was definitely Kane, but she knew right away. Were you guys like, we probably weren't surprised, honestly, when you
think
about it.
They've been through so much together, and at this point, to survive so many things that they've been through, they have to have a certain familiarity with how each person reacts. Like, for example, the way Clark may react, or Octavia may react, or Bellamy, you know, they all act distinctively in under pressure. And him writing the speech, I'm pretty sure some of his lingo was familiar to her, you know?
It was definitely his voice, even though they were her words, but it was such intimate things about what was going on with the bunker people and one crew that it had to have been someone who knew them, and he was the only one that was going to do it. And Abby's in the midst of her drug
problem,
so she's not going to be writing anything.
Down for the count right now.
Do you think it's smart that she asked Kane to do it as opposed to her?
Yeah. Right now, I would say yes. For sure. And so they say, listen, go beyond the ruins tonight and we'll pick you up on our little ship and you'll be safe with us. And Octavia's not super happy about this, of course, and she threatens to shoot everyone that goes beyond the ruins, which, I don't know, guys. Like, I like that she's, like, a strong leader, but that's just straight up dictatorship right there. You know, like, if you're not even giving your people any choice, like, how do you justify that? Because, Cherry, I know you're going to try because you love her.
First of all, I'm Team Octavia. Go, girl.
We know.
And second of all, giving them additional fighting power and people who could fight and knows their fighting style, I can understand where Octavia would say, once you become part of that crew, you're going to help them, which means you're going to fight against us.
I didn't think
and
about
you go
that.
Tell them the bunkers and everything.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. That makes great sense. They know the strategies.
That's a good point.
Yeah. I thought it was a horrible idea, though, for him to even try to take people from one crew. Like, he should have known someone was going to die. It's going to be some type of casualties if you're trying to take people from, you know, from her and her dictatorship, you know? Like, I thought automatically something was going
to
happen.
That's true. Yeah. I think in a way, though, Kane is trying to, like, save his people still. He, like, really finds Octavia's leadership style toxic. And so, in a way, of course, he's trying to kind of collapse her leadership style. But I think, in a way, he's also trying to, like, save his people, even if it does have to be with Dioza. Because I feel like last episode when they shared the tequila, was it tequila or whiskey?
Yeah, she slid that over her
tequila. The little tequila, they kind of bonded, and I think that they sort of made a truce, and I think there's some mutual trust there. So I think that in a way, it's not even just trying to like get back at Octavia for anything. It's like he's trying to save his peeps, you know?
They have common ground. You know, how she mentions she wants the human race to go on between. Y'all know if you're going to talk about this a little later, but like she wants the human race to go on because of the sickness and the numbers game. And she's welcoming the one crew just because, hell, we want people to live past our grandkids, you know?
Right.
So. Also, I think Marcus wants to be in charge again. I think that's part of the issues. Marcus and her brother both look at her and think, I'd be a better leader. Clark is looking at her like, I'll be a better leader too. And I think that's the other thing is they all think, and if I were doing it, I would have done this better. And it's like, no, you know.
To be fair, though, he does have leadership experience. Like, he made lots of mistakes, but on the arc, like, he did have that experience. I don't know, guys. I think there's things to be said about everyone. I feel like nobody in this show's ever been a perfect leader by any means.
No leaders, for sure.
Yeah, I feel like we could have a whole show where we just, like, debate who would be better in a situation, which actually sounds like a lot of fun, and that would be a great show, honestly. But let's switch gears just a little tiny bit and start talking about Bellamy and Echo, because they were really prevalent in this episode as well. So Bellamy comes with Echo and basically vouches for her with Octavia and was like, look, I know that 6 years ago you guys had this thing, this bad blood between you, but it was 6 years ago. Would you guys personally have, like, forgotten that and think you could forgive? Because, like, there's a lot of stuff that went down there.
True. I think that that kind of messes with her character a little bit. Her character seems now that anybody can be one crew as long as you're set for one crew. You accept it. We're all together. But now that she's kind of holding a grudge from before the time that this has been, you know, made or whatever, she's still holding grudges. To me, I think that kind of does a little disruption to her character.
Interesting.
You know? Yeah.
How I look at it, and it's not because I'm team.
You're so biased, Cherry.
Here we go.
But it's because that was what she had decreed. She fleed. Her fleeing caused a lot of upheaval amongst the people and caused a lot of death and disruption. And so I understand where she's coming from, because if she's coming back again, that's also going to sow dissension amongst the people who are going to say, oh, well, she's really supposed to be the leader, not Octavia. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the issues that they're sort of having the little mini rebellions again.
That's true.
So I guess it needs to be clear what happens before the bunker. Does that even matter? Or is it everything from now going forward? Is there going to be a one team or not? Or does some things in the past still play?
You know? Right. It's true.
It hasn't been cleared yet.
You gotta decide. And that's kind of the tricky part. That's kind of the sticky point right now, I feel like. And so Octavia's like, listen, you got 24 hours to leave or else you're fighting in the arena. So they're having the arena on...
On land
now.
Like gladiators.
All right. Yeah, you do you. You do you.
But they still have a limited amount of food. So
it's true.
They still are having food issues.
They essentially have, like, the same problems that they were having in the bunker. We just brought it up a few levels.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We just have fresh air. That's so
first we're in the air. Now we're on the ground.
Yeah.
Then we're in the jungle. You know, now we're in the bunker.
Everywhere we're transported, it's going to be these problems.
No food.
With new...
But they keep getting batteries. Issues. They keep getting... it was solar for the car. But they keep getting certain essentials, except for food. You know what I mean? Like, what grocery store are they finding batteries at?
You guys have a Walmart?
I think that they're using... I mean, I don't think the technology, if it was buried under, would still be fine. Mm. It's just finding the pieces to make them and having the know-how, which is why, of course, the space crew is willing to bring them on. But I have a feeling even when they bring on the one crew, they'll always be a second-class citizen. And also, considering they're criminals and violent offenders... they'll always look at them as being prey to a certain degree.
It'll be in, like, a servitude way. Like, hey, you can be here. Like, we won't kill you, but, like, you're basically going to do everything we say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's definitely has the potential to happen. And Bellamy's super disheartened by Octavia acting this way because Echo's his girl now.
That's the boo thing.
His girl now.
Yeah. For now.
For now.
So Clark likes men again. That's next season.
Clark likes everyone.
Everybody.
But I think that's been really consistent this season is Bellamy trying to kind of, like, pull Octavia out of this, like, darkness that she's kind of fallen into in ways. So I think it's interesting that he keeps trying to get through to her, and she just is like, she won't budge.
She will not budge.
She's like, her armor is way too thick. She's not letting anybody in. And it's so sad. Like, we've had little tiny moments of connection between the two of them, but I really miss that, like, sibling bond that they had.
Yeah. Do you think if he joined one crew, she would be more susceptible to listening to him? If he became a part of the group? Because she listens to Cooper somewhat.
She listens to Cooper, but...
Well, Cooper listens to her, though, at the end of the day. True. You know what I mean?
True. And I think Bellamy wants to tell her what to do. Not only does he want to tell her what to do, he wants to tell her what to do in front of one crew, which usurps her authority.
Yeah.
And she can't
gotta
have
go.
That.
He's got to go.
And he keeps, like, his perspective. Chasing her down. Octavia! It's like, dude... And she looked back like... I told you not to do that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take you down right now because we got mess going down, but I told you.
He's
pushing it.
He's pushing it. But honestly, like, that's sweet to me, because he's doing it in spite of knowing that she could, like, totally retaliate against him, because he cares about her so much. That's my perspective, at least.
He doesn't see that she's grown up and she's the woman in charge.
Yeah. He still sees her as a little girl underneath the floorboard that he has to take care of and protect, and he still doesn't really see her as a woman. He definitely doesn't see her as a person leader, who's grown into this leader, who's had to make incredibly tough choices, which I don't think she enjoyed making this choice. I don't think she liked it. She had to, and then she tried to turn her emotions off so that they were tolerable for her. But Bellamy needs to back off. And also, if he wants to have these little heart-to-heart discussions with her, he needs to do it when there's nobody else around.
I don't know, man.
I think exactly. That's the key, I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but he did kind of do it in this episode, and I think that he did kind of view her as, like, the powerful person she was in this episode, because instead of just talking to her playing nice, like, they fought. Like, they hardcore fought literally with each other.
With knives.
And so he knows her power, and I think that she knows his power, and I think they're finally getting to recognize each other's, you know, their strength, and, like, both of them are so tough and, like, so driven just to do what they think is best, and, you know, they butt heads sometimes, but I feel like there's gotta be a way that the two of them can coexist, and, you know.
I don't know. She's a dictator. How do you finish that whole sentence? I mean, that whole word. It's like, she's a dictator, you know?
Yeah.
Who did y'all think was gonna win? I honestly thought Octavia was gonna win.
Me too.
But she's still wounded.
She is still wounded.
She's still wounded, and she's recovering. And Brooke Blackman 94, said Bellamy should take a page out of Clark's book, because I don't recall Clark talking to Letsy in front of people the way that Bellamy is talking to Octavia.
True. Yeah.
And she really didn't. Whenever they'd have the little fights, they'd be in a room and that little... They'd be in bed, pretty much.
It's kind of like a relationship. I don't know if your parents was like this, but, like, my mom had all the power, but my dad was the face of it. So my dad would go out there and just, but behind closed doors, like, what you think, sweetie? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the situation. You just got to know when to speak to someone. I know that sounds bad, but...
No, that makes sense, though. That makes sense. Maybe, like, what he's saying is, you know, valid, but maybe he needs to say it in a different way. I'll accept that. I'll definitely accept that. Good, guys. We have figured out how to solve all of their problems. This is perfect. Octavia finally decides to compromise a little bit. Mm-hmm. She's like, okay, if Echo can bring me the people's names who are planning on defecting, she won't be banished anymore. Like, okay, that's, you know, kind of a savage move, but I guess, you know, you scratch my back, I won't send you to die. That's the motto of this episode. And so two kids, I didn't catch their names, but two younger One crew members tell Echo that they want to go with her when she's banished. Mm-hmm. And Echo realizes that she just can't turn in their names. It's just going to be too cruel to do.
It's the right thing to do.
Yeah, but were you surprised by that? Because Echo's been a bit of a shady character sometimes.
I thought that made the most sense. Mm-hmm. Everyone seems to be trying to have this whole new life type of thing, where what if they were bad in an older season? Now they're trying to work on themselves. So her, no matter what kind of evil she did in the past or whatever, I feel like she is still trying to be a better person.
Yeah.
You know? So that made sense to me.
And I agree with Octavia using her skill set, which is spying and duplicity.
Smart.
For the one crew. And I understand how she didn't want to turn everyone in, because that felt not very nice. It would have been like killing people for... at cold, not in the heat of passion. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, Octavia was very clear as to why this had to be done. And I totally agreed with what Octavia did.
Oh, of course, Team O.
No, because if she'd allowed them to go freely, Dioza would have been like, well, that's not right. The Octavia I know is bat crap crazy.
Yeah.
She wouldn't be cool with this.
Kind of suspicious. She wounded them, though, right? A little arm action, a little leg action, a little... back left spine, you know what I mean? Maybe a little wheelchair, I don't know. But not just murder, right? Yeah.
But she still didn't want anyone who's viable who'd be able to fight against one crew. Because is going to come eventually.
Look, about 10 people or so got onto the plane, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, onto the ship.
Some of them were wounded, yeah. I mean, they had to make it look good. And 10, fine. 20, no.
Okay. That's too many.
No. Well, let's rewind just a little bit and, like, talk about how they exactly got to that point. Because they did end up defecting. But before that, Monty is trying to blind the radar that they have. So, like, the cameras they're using to spy on one crew, he's trying to make it so they can control them. And so, basically, they can, like, either disable them or, like, point it at a wall or something that nothing's going on at.
Yeah.
Exactly. And but he realizes he can't do it unless he has inside help. And so Bellamy and his little squad, consisting of, you know, Monty and all of them, decide that they're going to go defect so they can get onto the ship and they can, you know, blind the radar themselves because they can't do it unless they're in there. And so in order to get inside the firewall, they will have to hack the camera. And so they want to go see Raven on the ship. Which I hope we get more of her next episode, because like I said, really missed her. And so they ask Octavia permission to defect so they can go on the property. And she's like, no, I'm not sending Bellamy out there, because she does care about him.
And she knew what she was going to do.
Right.
And she didn't want to show any disloyalty, I guess.
Yeah. That's very true.
She wanted to be fair.
Yes, that's true.
Killed everyone, not just one.
Yeah.
Everyone gets to die.
Oh, that's true. She probably did have it in mind. She's like, nah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, she already knew.
She already knew. Because she said, I said Echo, not, you know, everyone.
Right. Yeah. Oh, she's so clever. But yeah, so Echo offers to do it instead of Bellamy. And she's like, you know what, fine. But if you get there and you're in huge trouble, guess what? No one's coming to save you, which... It's pretty savage, I'm not gonna lie.
But it's I can't say that word. Post-apocalyptic.
Apocalyptic.
Yeah, post-A, okay? It's post-A. Like,
post-A.
Everywhere you go is danger. You know what I mean? They can walk in the jungle and die from something. So her giving a threat that if you go, you're on your own, I think that's pretty much understandable.
That's true. It's kind of implied. Like, everyone's on their own right now.
What can she do, though? What can she do to save them?
That's true.
Lance C in the chat says, I'm totally digging Echo and Bellamy together ever since the episode in season 2 when Bellamy saves her in Mount Weather. There was that little spark.
Guys, they were hot in this episode, I'm not gonna lie. I was just gonna talk about their little goodbye, their little goodbye scene. Their little no clothes goodbye scene. I was like, oh, it's a cute little pack. No, like, they're really saying goodbye. Yeah. And I thought that was sweet. Echo's like, listen, I'm confident that we'll find each other again. Which I was like, aw. So I'm like, I'm here.
You're
for
always
it.
The one that leans towards the low.
It's true.
You're so sweet.
We gotta find the light in this darkness sometimes.
We do.
True love always conquers all.
I thought it was very cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never seen Bellamy and Clark together. I'm sorry.
No, that's interesting because a lot of people like them. I don't know. I'm here for the ride. I'm here for whatever, wherever it takes me. I feel like there's chemistry everywhere in this show. There's always sparks. So.
Clark always has chemistry with everyone. And anyone who Clark is with ends up dead. And I do not Bellamy hurt.
What about Clark and Nyla? I saw a little wink action or something.
We'll talk about that in just a short moment.
Okay.
So yeah, we talked about the scene where Cooper shoots at the defectors and... Mm-hmm. They're like, yo, what are you doing? She's like, who do you think gave me the order to do this? Which I was kind of surprised. I honestly thought that Cooper might have gone rogue for a second. I thought that would have made some interesting conflict there. But I guess she's not really like that.
I thought so too.
Pivotal of a character yet, so it wouldn't have like mattered that much. Octavia would have been like, bam, bye, you know?
Yeah. if she's got one rebellion.
Yeah. She already rebelled once.
Oh.
Yeah.
Octavia would not let that go down.
Yeah, right. If she would kill her brother, she'll definitely kill her.
Yeah, she don't care. We don't care about Cooper much, let's be real.
I thought it definitely she did it against her will. Like, oh, she's getting soft. Let me go ahead and just take care and do the dirty
work. That's what
I
thought, too. But no, Octavia was definitely in charge. So.
Oh, yeah. Loophole.
Let's talk about a little what was happening on the ship and, like, with Dioza. So there's still some tension there between McCreary and her. McCreary wants that war. He's all about the war. And Dioza is like, no, we're not doing that because one crew has engineers and farmers and all of that. And I like the fact that she is, I mean, she's a little cray, but she's pretty level-headed. Like, she knows to think ahead. Like, she's not just all about the war because they could literally take these people out with, like, 2 missiles, they said.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I
probably
think that...
One.
Yeah, probably. Their technology is pretty good, but I don't know. I like that. And I like that Dioza is still holding firm and in charge, and I don't know. I still see that a rebellion's coming her ship, her camp, too. But
yeah, because they're not going to like the fact that Kane is so close to her. Yeah. Yeah, they're not.
Well, because they threatened to kill Kane, and then she's like, don't do that, or else Abby's not going to research anything anymore for us.
And he's been in her love bed.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Yeah, McCreary's trouble.
McCreary is trouble.
He's a maniac. He's been wanting to kill everyone since on the ship, off the ship, before the ship. You know what I mean?
So no matter where we are.
He just likes killing.
And he knows that they have a disease, which may or may not be cured, and he does not care about humanity. Yeah. So really, I don't know why people keep letting him live. They need to just throw him off a cliff and be done with it.
Oh. You are Team Octavia.
That is harsh. Guys,
that's an Octavia thing to say.
Speaking of this, whether you're Team Octavia, whether you're not Team Octavia, we want to know. We want to hear from you guys. So we're available on like a lot of platforms. So if you are a podcast listener, if you're like listening to this in your car or something, make sure once you stop the car, because we don't want you texting and driving or anything. But go to iTunes, rate us 5 stars, 1 through 4 don't work for some reason, so you can only click 5. Make sure to drop us a comment there. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel. We are on the Sci-Fi AfterBuzz page. And leave us preferably a nice comment, because I like reading the nice ones better than the mean ones. But I mean, you do you. And yeah, share your thoughts, because I love, you guys have like the best theories, and I learn so much and think about things in totally new ways when I read your guys' comments. So make sure to do that, please, and keep the conversation going. And so that's what we're going to do too. We're going to keep this conversation going. Let's talk about Clark, you guys.
Clark, my favorite.
No. So, Clark, I mean, she's pretty great. Like, yeah, I feel that.
I've got bitten by the Clark bug.
The Clark bug. Yeah. Who hasn't? Let's be real. So, she is not about the punishing all the defectors plan either. She wants to go back to Shallow Valley, though. She thinks that there's a way to kind of join. I think that she's thinking kind of how Kane is thinking. Like, maybe we can unite with them in some way or another. What do you guys think about that?
That is a bad idea. They're criminals, not even regular criminals, not like white collar criminals. They're like truly violent criminals. And it wasn't like they've been in counseling or anything like that. They were put to sleep.
I mean,
they're all criminals.
If we look at the stats, considering how many people Clark has killed, exactly. And I'm not saying that I'm not saying that she's, you know, done it because she wants to, but I mean, she's a serial killer. Like, let's be real.
Very much serial.
Most of these people are serial killers. So, just playing devil's
serial killer.
But we don't know though, because there was like a war going on with them too, right? Because Dioza was talking about that. So we don't really know their history. Like, maybe they had justification too.
Mm-hmm. Burning people alive and eating them? Because one guy is a carnivore. No.
Cannibal.
Mm-hmm. Then one person, because they were looking through their criminal records, and it looks like all the people who were like the staff on the ship, they murdered them. So the people who are alive are the, not even like the blue collar or white collar criminals, they're like real criminals. And yes, our ship, our sky people are descended, some of them are descended from criminals, but that's not the same kind of criminality. And they usually, to a certain degree, will put aside some of their baser urges for the sake of humanity or getting along. And once they have like a strong leader, they're able to sort of function and follow within whatever the government that they have. But it seems like they're still fighting over their government. And it's like McCreary and his people want to just be crazy nut jobs, kill everybody, destroy humanity, destroy the only habitable part of Earth. And then there's the other ones who are kind of sane, who are having a little war. Because I think the people who are following Dioza are the former soldiers who try to overthrow the government for whatever reason. But there's, I think, fewer of them than there are than McCreary's team.
Yeah. But I feel like the soldiers, a soldier is essentially someone without power. Like, they take orders and they kill because someone else told them to kill. Mm-hmm. I think everyone deserves a second chance a little bit. If you were a murderer up on the ship, I think now that you're on the ground, you deserve to have a reset slate. Because everyone's killed at this point.
I love this debate, guys.
That's how I feel about it, though, you know?
No, yeah, I agree. I would love to see them.
I mean, the guy who ate people, forces. Okay, maybe not him. But everyone else.
There's always one, okay? You know? There's always the guy. It's
not just, to the one who eats people.
It's going to happen. But we also, at the same time, we have a lot of stuff going on with Maddie as well. So Gaia starts telling Maddie about combat, which she's like super into, which I think is hilarious. I love her so much. And Maddie tells Gaia about her Nightblood, but doesn't tell her like the whole truth. She's like, oh, it's synthetic, like Clark went to Becca's lab.
Which doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Which, absolutely. But, make well, sense. That happened before. That's how Clark's a Nightblood.
Well, Clark, if you remember on the end of the season, she, the ship was going up and the, what do you call it? The
like radiation stuff?
Radiation was coming and she, the radiation hit her. So when did she have time in the radiation to find the girl, do a transfer? You know what I mean?
That's true.
She didn't have no time. That window was short. She would have to be saved before the radiation hit.
Yeah.
So that didn't make sense to me.
Yeah. But well, Guy doesn't know that.
Yeah, okay.
Guy don't know that. And so,
I thought she was snooping. I thought she was trying to figure it out a little bit.
Yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think she was trying to figure out if that was her child, her biological child. And then she would have had the Nightblood.
Right. Because, like, naturally.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Well, speaking of snooping and trying to get information, we have Nyla and Clark reconnecting as well, which I did not see, like, Nyla's betrayal coming. And I think that you guys did a little more than I did, though.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I was just like, oh, this is sweet. Like, maybe I was just, maybe it's just because I'm, like, tired today or something. But I was like, oh, this is cute.
Yeah, they were setting up for it.
The questions she asked were pretty prying, though. Mm-hmm. And so, during their conversation, Gaia comes in. She still does have the flame. She's the flame keeper. Mm-hmm. That was, like, the worst accent that I've ever tried, but it's fine. And she starts suffocating Nyla because she thinks she's going to come for Maddie. Mm-hmm. And, in fact, Nyla was trying to come for Maddie, we later find out. And she's like, Clark, you gotta tell Octavia the truth about her being Nightblood, or I will, pretty much. I did not think that Nyla was, like, super Team Octavia, like, as much as she is, apparently.
She's not Team Octavia, she's team one crew to keep them from infighting.
Yeah, and Gaia, that makes sense, because I think there's still some little bit of remorse that Octavia is so close to her mom.
Yeah.
She's always been the chosen for her mom, so she's like, you know, I could take it or leave it.
Right. The Gaia thing made sense for me, too. But the Nyla thing, I was like, ooh, I don't know. I just, like, I didn't see her being the one to to be the one to, you know what I mean?
Clark didn't put that spazzadazz on her just yet. You know, Clark had to lure the lantern light in the cave, you know what I mean? And
I mean, they've been there before. Warm. That's the thing. They have history. So I was like, ooh, maybe she wants to rekindle that history. But she's got some shadier intentions than that. And so they, Clark tells Maddie, yo, we gotta skedaddle because these people are coming for you. And Maddie's not here for it. She's so brave, you guys.
Brave but dumb. That move she did at the end was totally dumb to me. You know, her going to turn herself in, you know, no. So, I'm just saying no.
So her intentions when she went to Octavia
was to save Clark.
Were to save Clark, and she wanted to become a part of one crew.
Yes.
But she also, by doing that, made Octavia have Nightblood. Do you think that Maddie, like, knew what she was doing? Like, because it was not just, she wasn't just doing one thing, you know? Mm-hmm. They were kind of literally conjoining the Nightblood and the one crew together with that move. Do you think that she knows the repercussions from that?
I doubt she'd even know about that behavior of cutting your hand, because I doubt she did that with Clark.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I understand where she was coming from. They've been alone for such a long time.
Sure.
And I'm sure the idea of being just the two of them when she knew there are other human beings around would be horrifying for a child. So I don't think she wanted to leave. And also just the look she was giving Octavia, she just saw herself in Octavia. And I think Octavia saw a lot of herself. And I think she's basically stolen Clark's daughter. And she's like, she's my daughter now, so I will step.
Yeah, I feel like Clark definitely felt betrayed by that. Because she's raised her for the past 6 years, and now she's all of a sudden just, oh yeah, Octavia's here now.
That's her favorite comic book character, right?
Yeah, honestly.
She is better than you. Like, it's like, what?
Yeah, you know? I felt really bad for Clark there. Like, oh, that would hurt.
I still think something's wrong off there. I still don't trust Octavia.
Yeah, and that's me, neither do I. Oh, I think she's definitely... I think that she definitely knows that she's, you know, has this Nightblood now in her. Because when you cut the hand, you could see that her blood was, like, black. Mm-hmm. And so I think Octavia... I unfortunately do think that she's completely exploiting the situation.
And why did she choose one crew over the Valley? Because she chose that when she escaped before she heard the gunshot. So it wasn't that she went to Octavia out of fear that she was going to die with the Valley.
Well, she knows that the Clark would die. Would in the die, Valley. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they can't go sense. Back. And mm-hmm. Clark was willing to die for and her. Go with her, as opposed to just sending the child by herself.
Right.
which would have made more sense. But I understand. I totally understand with what Maddie was doing. Maddie doesn't want to be alone. And she's been hearing about Octavia more like mythology than like a real mm-hmm. person.
Yeah.
And so she can't
thinks
separate
they're
so
friends.
Out.
Yeah.
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 And I think, I mean, Octavia, I know you guys think she's evil. She's not evil. She just did what she felt was necessary. And I think at this point, it would not be necessary to kill Maddie.
Yes.
Mm. So she might be her daughter, her pretend daughter.
But she also is, I think, like, not the purest of intentions. It's not like, true. Oh, Maddie's like my BFF now. It's like, oh, you have the blood. Let's give me the blood. You know what I mean? Because that is another thing to kind of keep her in power. I don't know. I hope that she actually cares about Maddie a little bit because I think they're really cute. I think they're really
she just met
a
her.
Fun relationship. But
did anybody say anything about it yet?
No. Someone we're says just I'm team Bellamy, yeah. team Kane, team Jasper.
So many teams.
Lancey,
yeah.
team Jasper.
I feel like I'm in Twilight or something.
Yeah, like, I asked like everybody team. Whose team they were, and you guys know I'm team Octavia.
Team
so.
Yeah.
I love that.
I don't know. I think I'm guess I'm Clark.
Guys, I'm Team Abby. Yes. I'm not gonna lie, I love Abby really? So much. And I love that scene where the like emotional scene between Clark and Maddie where she's like, if something happens to me, go find my mom. I loved that moment. I thought that was cool.
I thought that was sweet. And then I thought, does Clark know her mom is suffering from addiction?
Yeah.
Oh, that's new. No.
I think that she
that's the
I think
6 year
that she
effect.
Does have it. I think that she saw a little glimpse of it, right?
But I don't think she knows she's
but
suffering
probably not
from,
like full blown
like that
mm-hmm.
right
yeah so
guys. Hopefully the Abby would be able to get over it for the sake of Maddie, you know.
She can get over it for her boyfriend, so she's not gonna be able to get over it for her
well,
daughter.
But it's Maddie,
granddaughter.
You know what I mean? It's Maddie.
Maddie.
That's your nickname for
it's Maddie. Okay, and let's quickly talk about Murphy. He is still being tracked. He has his little mm-hmm. crazy little shock collar thing. And he and Amori hide out in a cave. And Amori's trying so hard to pry it off. And it just keeps shocking both of them.
And she's slightly enjoying it.
Yeah.
Of course.
You know.
Spark.
I mean, you know, the spark. There's a spark there. Sparks yeah. are flying everywhere. And they have a really good conversation that I have been, like, waiting for. And we kind of find out that Murphy was a little bit jealous when Amori branched out and, you know, got new friends and kind of started mm-hmm. spending time with Raven and stuff, which I think is, like, really sad, like, in both respects. Mm-hmm.
I didn't expect he was going to say something like that.
Yeah.
At all. That he had that type either. Of emotion, you know?
Yeah. Like, I feel bad for Murphy because he feels like, you know, this one person who's important in his life is slipping away. But at the same time, like, Amori just wants friends. Like, her life should be more than just him.
It's probably jealousy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Murphy's never had, like, a lot of friends and true friends or true loyalty.
That's
so
his
for
fault.
Him,
yeah.
He, for him, he'd look at them as stealing her away.
Oh.
As opposed to her having enough love in her heart to have
to share
all these, he doesn't want to share.
He wants her to be a loner too, I guess.
Yeah.
So that is a dysfunctional relationship.
It is. But hopefully we can find our way back to each other. I feel like they're starting to maybe, I mean, there's still a lot of tension there, but I feel like they're starting to finally communicate and talk about their feelings, which is always good.
Yes.
And so they finally figure out how to kind of manipulate the caller and plant like a bomb sort of thing, so when people come looking and they like push the button, it backfires on them, which
no
I thought that was
how they
really
did that.
Cool. Ooh. I don't either, but it was really cool
because the
it was a tank or something,
the
huh?
thing was supposed to blow his head off.
Yeah,
so just putting it down and then turning it on, then that would be the explosion, but instead, and then I think they put it with some other things,
right?
So
like
they made
tank,
it like
right?
a weapon of mass destruction or
okay.
MED, you know, when you make a bomb, you make it worse, so shoots off like nails and things.
Oh.
Yes.
I'm not a weapony person, so I don't know what
weapony.
That's called.
And so that actually gives them a hostage. So they got some power. They got some leverage here now.
They need to chain him up, gag him,
yeah,
cut off a foot,
dangerous.
Something. He is a horrible hostage.
Yeah.
He's a horrible hostage.
But
and
he
you
also
know.
Is important because he's important to the Allegiance crew people. So it's like he's a valuable hostage, but also there's risk.
He's important to the people that want to overthrow Dioza. Yeah. You know, see, Dioza is like, oh, yeah, don't kill him. Kill him. Kill him.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Do you think she wants him back?
Yeah, I think that she wants him back.
She doesn't want him back.
He can't fly the plane. I mean, he's going to die from whatever disease he has. And he doesn't really take orders very well. He's going to be the first one to overthrow her.
Yeah, he's been plotting to kill her. So no, I'd let him die. I'd be like, oh no, what can we do to save him? Yeah, everyone. We can't do that. So I guess you'll have to kill him. Mm-hmm. I tried my best, everyone. Yeah. I tried.
We just asked you for a cup of water. Nope, sorry. We can't. Peace out. No cups of water here. Just gallons, you know. Gallons.
That way the other people won't blame her for his death. They'll blame one crew. And she'll be like, oh, take one for the team, one crew.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good point.
Side note, did you guys notice how they spell one crew?
With the W?
Yeah. Yes, W-O-N-K-R-U. Oh. I've been misspelling it.
Somehow, I don't know why I knew that, but I think maybe people in the comments, I read the comment section, guys, so that's probably why people are there. Yeah, I know. It would make sense. But they also, it's like the different language that they have, so maybe it's like taken from that or something. Mm-hmm. Let's really briefly touch on what happened at the end of the episode. So they take Echo's little bracelet software, but rest assured, it's fine because she's already stashed it in someone's body.
That's why she's a spy.
Wild. As soon as I saw the bracelet come off, I was like, okay, now we have to see another episode of her trying to recover the bracelet.
Me too.
But once I saw...
Try to grab the computer.
Right, but that's what you were thinking.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, okay, we have to have another arc where they have to somehow sneak around and they're going to get in trouble. They have to kill someone who sees them. Like, I had this whole thing in my mind. But once I saw it in someone's flesh, I was like, okay.
That's pretty.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, she saw that
knocked off my episode.
Everybody's baubles. She was like, what can I do? Mm-hmm. So sorry, girl. I'm going to have to do this to you.
I know. An open wound.
And the girl's like, oh. And she's just like, shh.
Hush.
I thought that was so creepy. It's so creepy.
And they're all getting little collars, tracking shot collars on them, too.
Which is smart.
Very smart. Dang, guys. Like, damn, Dioza. You're really going there. I don't know. It was smart, but a little savage. Yeah. So, yeah. That was the episode. Let us move on to our special segment. Boss move of the week.
Like a boss.
Thank you. Sarai, you have one that you've been dying to say.
Oh, but we just talked about it. But my boss move of the week was when she hit the chip, or I'm sorry, the hard drive or USB in the girl's body.
Yeah.
She's like putting pressure. Oh, yeah, I'll save your life. By the way, let me stick this foreign object in your body. I hope you don't mind. It's, you know what I mean? That's a boss move.
Boss move. Cherry, you got one? Exactly.
Well, my boss move is, of course, my queen bee, Octavia. When she was like, you know what? Shoot the interlopers. Shoot the traitors. Shoot, shoot, shoot. Shoot everyone but the one that I need. She can live.
Boss move.
Like a boss.
It's a boss. A little bit of a villainous boss, but boss nonetheless. I think mine...
I was waiting for you.
I think mine would have to be Gaia just sneaking into that room and suffocating Nyla. It's like, well, that's intense stuff. That was pretty boss because, you know, she's protecting that flame. Like, she's doing it for the flame. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was pretty cool.
And for Maddie, your accent.
Maddie. Hi, guys. Maddie. So we also have some fan shout-outs this week because you guys are really awesome about communicating with us. So BrokeBlackMan94, you're in the chat like every week. Thank you so much for joining
us. Since 94?
Since 94. And Chris Selasky, you guys are our two little special fans of the week. And so all you really have to do to be like entered to be a special fan is to comment something not super hateful in YouTube or iTunes, and then we'll maybe shout you out next week.
Mm-hmm. I have a super gossip from the chat because y'all roll.
Let's do it.
Zias B. Lou says Georgia Lee from The Expanse has joined the season 6 writer's room. Boom.
Oh, cool.
Yes. Love The Expanse.
I love the writer's news. We never talk about the writers. Love but the that's writers. Awesome. I think I have one more piece of news if we want to play the little sound effect. Yeah.
AfterBuzz TV News.
It always makes me feel like I'm like a host of a weather show or something. I really enjoy it. So I'm going to butcher the last name because I can never say it, but the girl who plays Octavia, Marie Avdaropoulos. Yep. She did an interview with TV Insider that just came out today, and it's a really, really awesome interview. She talks about all about like her character arc this season, how she feels about certain things, how she feels about like there's fans like Cherry that absolutely love her, and there's fans that like really are not here for Octavia. So she kind of talks about dealing with both sides of that spectrum. It's really awesome. Like I said, it's on TV Insider. The whole interview is called All Hail the Red Queen, the 100 star on Octavia's bloody new role. So guys, check that out. It's a really, really cool interview. yeah. So let's start wrapping up. Let's do some predictions.
Ooh. And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Sci-fi.
Does anybody have some, like, burning ones they really think are going to come true?
Clark is going to find a new love this season. You know,
a new love or rekindle an
she's
old love?
She's not going to rekindle a new one. She's going to hook up with someone new.
Okay.
Flyboy with his fine
anybody.
Self.
Clark goes for anybody.
Anybody, everybody. She's a train.
She's a train.
So my prediction is there's going to be, not, it shouldn't be a love triangle exactly, but it's definitely going to be a triangle where Maddie's going to be being pulled by her loyalty to Clark with her newfound
adoration.
Not motherly, but yeah. sisterly adoration, girl crush on Octavia.
I can see that happening too. My prediction is I think that Abby might find some new stuff. I can talk really well tonight, you guys. Maybe make some moves finding the cure for the, you know, virus that's plaguing everyone.
Of course.
I think that that's definitely a storyline that's going to become more prevalent in the next few episodes. Guys, make sure to drop your predictions in all of our comments. No matter how wild and crazy they are, the wild and crazier they are, the more fun they are to read, honestly. So make sure to do that. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Where can everyone find you guys to continue the conversation?
You can find me, Cherry _ Lay, on Twitter and Instagram. And, of course, The Expanse on Sundays at 6.
Funny Sarai on Instagram and Instagram. Wait, Instagram and Twitter. And on Facebook, it's Sarai Comedian. And also on Tuesday, well, this is Tuesday, also on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. for Archer.
Awesome. And you guys can find me on Twitter at alphabet_Anne, on Instagram at Taylor_Gates_. I also host a show about cults every Tuesday at 8 o'clock and Law & Order SVU every Thursday at 8 o'clock. We are off next week. I think we come back on June 19th. We have another week break, but we will be back on June 19th yes. at 10 o'clock on Tuesday. Until next time, we will see you guys. Keep it 100.
Ooh,
love ya.
Kisses.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.